Brooklyn's Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.
And now this week's Brooklyn's Radio Playhouse.
Upstage Surrey presents Contact by Lisa Mills. It was the height of the summer, and it had been a long, hot day in a week of long, hot days, a rarity in England. A small out-of-town theatre in the Midlands was packed with the faithful. They had forsaken their cool, shady gardens for a very special reason. Violet Bliss was appearing in their little theatre, the famous medium, for one night only, right on their doorstep. The summer could wait, for this was a night not to be missed. Tonight may be their only chance to exchange a few last precious words with the loved ones who were no longer a part of their lives. Wives, brothers, sisters, husbands, mothers, all could be there with Violet, waiting to make contact again. And so they went, and they waited. Violet sat looking at herself in the dressing room mirror. She smoothed down a few stray hairs which had escaped from her neatly brushed bob, and patted her nose with a large, oversized powder puff, the finishing touch. In spite of the heavy makeup, she still looked tired. More like 77 than 57, she thought to herself. The strain of this long tour was telling on her. Her concentration was becoming harder to maintain, and now the heat was exhausting. But the show must go on, as they say. She stood and turned briefly to check the back of her dress. Mustn't walk out on stage with her skirt caught up in her knickers. There was nothing mystical about the sight of M&S big pants. She left the dressing room and walked past the other empty rooms, eventually reaching the wings of the stage. She could see her son, Derek, over the other side. He grinned at her and gave her the thumbs up. She smiled back at him and gave him a nod. Derek turned off the tape recorder and picked up the microphone. The murmuring of the audience died away, and in her voice he thought reminiscent of Samuel L. Jackson, but in fact sounded more like Michael Jackson, he announced, "Ladies and gentlemen, please ensure your mobile phones are turned off. The only contact you will need is here tonight. And here she is, Miss Violet Bliss." He flicked a switch on the tape and the sound of a heavenly choir flooded the auditorium. Then he grabbed a thick rope suspended beside him and pulled it down, hand over hand, in the steady rhythm. The faded velvet curtain slowly parted to reveal a bare stage. The audience started to applaud, nervously. Violet drew a deep breath and stepped out onto the stage. As the applause from the packed theatre rose to greet her, she squinted as the glare of the spotlight hit her full in the face. The sequins on the cuffs and the collar of her dress caught the light and twinkled. She could see them from the corner of her eye. They made her feel glamorous and special, like a movie star. Making her way to the front of the stage, her eyes slowly adjusting to the light, Violet could make out the shapes of the people in the first few rows of the audience. As usual, the majority seemed to be like her, females in their mid-50s, clothed in an uncertain that'll-do style. Some of them had their cardigans draped across their laps, brought along in case they felt the evening chill after the show, in spite of it being mid-July, with temperatures around 30 degrees. Pessimists, thought Violet. Her disillusioned, downtrodden, daft public. Most of them were either in pairs or with a younger woman. Violet knew they were probably the daughters who had been dragged along for the evening. This was the repayment of a long-owed debt, their support summoned by guilt. Sceptical, uncomfortable, embarrassed. Violet had learnt over the years that soon their attitude would change. Soon they would sit upright, straining to hear her every word. They would reach for their mother's hands, their upturned faces desperately searching Violet's for some sign of proof that the one they had lost was with them once more. That was the best part, the power. The sheer power that she held just for that moment. Yes, that was great. Well, that and the cash, of course. Violet's earpiece crackled into life. She could hear Derek clearly. By now he would have moved away from the wings of the stage, out of sight, hidden from everyone. He had been moving about before the show amongst the punters, listening and making mental notes, jotting them down in his notebook later. It was his time to be the key part of the evening and feed Violet the information she vitally needed. Derek was perfect for this role. A young man in his 20s, once seen, quickly forgotten, he could blend unnoticed into a crowd and glean little snippets of information on which his mother could base her skillful deception. Sometimes, if he felt in the mood, he'd befriend one of the punters in the lobby and get the full works from them. But he was very careful with this. It had to be just the right sort. Usually, some old bird on their own, clutching their handbag a bit too tight, or huddling in a corner, head buried in the programme, terrified of being spotted by a neighbour, or worse, a relative. They were the best. It didn't take him long to get them chattering about their old man, and then they'd be away, lost in their past, describing every little detail down to the colour of his pyjamas, given the chance. The silly old fools actually thought he was interested, that he cared. Well, he didn't. He didn't care about anyone now. He cared about Maureen. His Maureen. She had told him that she loved him. He'd even had her name tattooed on his neck. Their names linked by a heart. Maureen, Hart, Derek, forever. His mum had gone bonkers when she'd seen it. She didn't like Maureen. She said she was out for what she could get. Oh, yes. He cared about Maureen, all right. And look where that had got him. She'd almost got him down the aisle. He'd even given her a ring, but then he caught her looking through his special box, thumbing through his notebooks, examining the microphone and the headsets. All his precious electric things. He liked electricity. It made things happen. So he told on Maureen to his mum. Told her that Maureen had threatened to spill the beans about them. Tell the press if he hadn't paid up. Mum had been right all along. His Maureen was just a gold digger. So he'd taken care of the matter, just like his mum had told him to. "Okay, Mum," Violet heard Derek say quietly. "Your first is a male, 50 years old, name of Tom. Dropped down stone dead at his birthday party. A stroke. Didn't even have time to open his presents. She'd bought him a drill." Her face broke into a well-practiced smile, and Violet addressed her in rapt onlookers using a low tone she hoped would be as comforting as warm treacle being poured over a golden sponge pudding. "Good evening, and a very warm welcome to all of you. It's so lovely to see so many of you here, and I am hoping that tonight we will be able to bring some of you together once more with those we loved who have now gone over to the other side." A whisper of excitement ran through the theatre. "I am not a miracle worker, though, dear friends, if I may call you that. I'm merely a conduit, a channel through which loved ones can communicate with each other between this world and the next." Violet scanned the darkened theatre. She could feel the tension, the anticipation. "I know you will appreciate that I cannot command those who have already crossed over to join us, but can only offer myself as their mouthpiece, a gateway for you here tonight. And so, before I entreat those who are dear to us to come forward, let us close our eyes for a moment and think of those who have gone before." Violet closed her eyes and raised her arms above her head in a dramatic gesture of embrace. She always hated this bit, ever since she had that dizzy spell in that sports hall in Grantham, where she'd nearly fallen off the edge of the stage. She put it down to an overindulgence of medicinal brandy the night before. She lowered her head and almost in a whisper said, "I invite those who have crossed from this life into the next to join us now." She raised her eyes to the heavens. "Bless you all, our dear friends and loved ones. Come forward. Don't be shy. We are here, waiting, longing to hear from you." She lowered her arms and looked about her on the stage. She swayed slightly and tightened her shoulders. Violet waved her hands to the unseen visitors slowly in a calming motion and spoke in an authoritative tone. "Right. All right. One at a time. One at a time. I can't make out what you're all saying if you all speak at once." Looking up at the balcony, she said, "I am being given a name, a man's name. Is it Don?" There was no response. "Or Ron?" Violet thought she heard the tiniest yes in answer to this. She didn't know anything about any Ron, so she moved swiftly on. No, no, it's Tom. Violet wished they'd get a move on. They obviously all knew someone called Tom and were uncertain if it was them she was talking to. It was time to narrow the field. She raised her voice slightly. He's saying something about a celebration. Say again, dear. A party, a birthday party. Violet heard a sharp intake of breath from the right side of the stalls. Got 'em, she thought. To her audience, she said, Where are you, my dear? Here. Violet's head turned sharply, her gaze pinpointing the spot where the voice came from. Please bring up the house lights a little, she commanded. The light slowly brightened to a dull twilight. Now revealed to each other and to Violet, the audience shifted uncomfortably in their seats. She could hear the soft sound of their movement and muffled, nervous coughing. Violet moved to the right of the stage, towards where she had heard the noise. She recognised her target. The woman, a nondescript mousy blonde in her 60s, was groping urgently in her bag, presumably for the inevitable hanky. Her companion, a young, pretty woman, was linking her arm through hers. A daughter? Granddaughter? Thought Violet vaguely, disinterestedly. Oh, hello, dear. You're all right, you're all right, she said in a soothing tone. Tom's here with us now, and he's smiling at you. He was a big fellow, wasn't he, dear? She inquired of the now weeping woman. The pause that followed denied the accuracy of this statement, so hastily Violet added, He had a big personality. Yes, that's it, he had a big personality which matched his big heart. Am I right, dear? The woman nodded her head and tried to respond, but before she could summon up the words, Violet was in. Oh, he is lovely, dear. And he's sending you his love. Bless you. A small, strangled sound came from the woman. She had found the tissue for which she was searching and was pressing it to the corner of her eye. He wants you to know he's happy and in a better place. You're not to worry about him any more. She saw a small smile pass around the woman's lips as she blew her nose into the now crumpled tissue. And he's saying something about a gift. It was a thrill. Violet closed her eyes and tilted her head slightly as if listening intently. No, no, not a thrill. A drill. Is that right, Tom? A drill? The woman started to sob, and her young companion looked up at Violet with tears in her eyes. In a trembling voice, she said, It was a grill. A George Foreman grill. We thought it would be good for him. And with that, she burst into tears. A murmur of sympathy went round the crowd. She'd have to have a word with Derek later. That was sloppy work. He was getting careless. Hastily, Violet added, Well, Tom says you did your best. It was a lovely thought, and he's blowing you a kiss now. He's sending you his love again. Bless you. And with that, Violet gave her signature curtsy, a little bob with her hands clasped tightly over her bosom and her head bowed in reverence to the bereaved. Then she turned to the centre of the stage while receiving a small round of appreciative applause. Derek came through on the earpiece, and Violet continued to sense the presence of another three beings from the other side, one of them being a large Persian cat who was still enjoying haddock in the hereafter. It was nearly time for the interval. Violet was ready for a fag and a G&T. She felt the audience tense as they anticipated the next contact she was about to reveal to them. A heavy silence had fallen over the auditorium. They were putty in her hands, Violet thought delightedly. Suddenly, there was a deafening explosion in her ear. In agony, she let out a sharp cry of pain, startling the audience. She staggered slightly and involuntarily pressed the earpiece hard against her head. The discomfort, however, passed as swiftly as it had occurred. Recovering her composure, Violet smiled soothingly at the crowd. With a small giggle in her voice, she said, Oh, I'm so sorry, ladies and gentlemen. At times our friends chattering away to me on the other side become so loud, it's almost painful. They are so keen to send their messages to you. A small titter ran through the audience, followed by a murmur of mutual reassurance. Who wishes to speak to us here next? Violet asked. There was only silence from her earpiece. What was going on? Where was Derek? She asked again. Please, try a little harder. We are all waiting. Then she heard a faint whisper, no louder than a breath. Someone was calling her name softly over and over again in her ear. Violet, What the heck was that, she thought. What's Derek playing at? The voice spoke again. Violet! Panic spread over Violet's face, and the audience, sensing something was wrong, was starting to shuffle uncomfortably in their seats. The voice continued speaking to Violet. What it was saying made her face twist and her body shiver in revulsion. She cried out, Derek, stop it, you're frightening me. Her voice had lost its controlled, polished tone. She shouted, what do you want from me? I never done nothing. It was him, not me, it was him. Her voice, stripped of its refined veneer, had risen to a shriek. She dropped to her knees and then collapsed in a heap on the stage. Several women in the audience screamed, and two usherettes who had been preparing to sell ice creams in the interval rushed up onto the stage. One ran to Violet, whilst the other ran into the wings and closed the curtains. The theatre manager appeared, ashen-faced, on the stage and made an announcement that there would now be a 15-minute interval. Miss Bliss had been overcome by the heat, but would rest and be fully recovered by the second house. She better had, he thought. He wasn't about to refund the take on a full house. He stepped back through the curtains and spoke to the usherette who was fanning Violet with an ice cream price list. Violet was starting to come round and seemed totally unaware of what had just taken place on stage. Derek, she asked. Where's Derek? I need to speak to him. She sat up and with the help of the two usherettes rose to her feet. She smoothed down her dress and regained her composure. I'm fine, thank you. Just fine. It was the intensity of the contact, you understand. They didn't, but keen to catch the commission from the interval sales, headed off back into the auditorium. Violet knew where Derek would be, cuddled up in some corner somewhere, clutching his special box and filling about with something electrical. She should have called him Sparky. She searched around the back of the stage in the dressing rooms, the props room, and then she had a thought. Oh, of course, he'd be down below the stage, just behind the band pit. Violet called out to him. Derek, are you there? I want to have a word with you. She went carefully down the concrete steps and quietly opened the door marked Orchestra Only. Sure enough, there he was. Her Derek sitting on an old metal typist chair, bent over that dratted box. She crossed to him. Derek, I really think you've got to be a little more careful about the punter's details. How you just got away with that tonight? Derek. Derek, are you listening to me? She put her hand on his shoulder and turned him towards her. His head snapped back violently. His mouth was pulled back in a grotesque grin, exposing his blackened tongue, and his bloodshot eyes were staring blindly up to the ceiling. The skin on his cheeks was charred and grey, and there was black burnt spots all over his face and neck like some sort of ancient pox. As he slowly revolved, Violet saw that his left arm was raised up to the side of his head. His fingers were shaped into claws and were formed into fists. In the left one, he grasped a fat, black plastic cord. Violet's gaze followed it down and across to where it disappeared into a large white box on the wall. This too was charred and black. She looked at the end Derek was holding and saw three bare wires, two of which were pressed into the flesh on his neck. Violet stared in disbelief and gasped in horror. Derek's tattoo had been burnt. Black specks of burnt flesh hid most of the message. The only letters remaining from his declaration of undying devotion were M-U-R-D-E-R-E-R.
You have been listening to Contact, written and read by Lisa Mills for Upstage Surrey. Upstage Surrey. Local entertainment by local people for local people.
Radio. Loving arts and entertainment.